This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Another reprieve granted to the last remaining abortion clinic in the state of Missouri. A judge says that Planned Parenthood facility in St. Louis can stay open for now. A Planned Parenthood doctor there, Colleen McNicholas, says,
"The fact that we are here before you today to proclaim this temporary victory is a testament to the fight that we will continue, that our entire community will continue to have access to abortion."
The judge also ruling that the state's Department of Health and Senior Services must decide on the license renewal for the facility no later than Friday, June 21st. Donald Trump Jr. currently meeting with the Senate Intelligence Committee behind closed door, his second appearance before that panel in relation to the special counsel Robert Mueller's report on the Russia probe. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to health care sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A Democratic-controlled House panel now considering a contempt of Congress resolution against Attorney General Bill Barr and Commerce Chief Wilbur Ross. The oversight panel's been demanding more documents from Barr and Ross in a growing dispute over the 2020 census about the Trump administration's decision to put a controversial citizenship question on the census. Comedian Jon Stewart pleading with lawmakers to reauthorize a fund that provides health care to 9/11 first responders. Stewart giving emotional testimony at a Capitol Hill hearing.
They showed us what was so worthy of our country, why it was so important for us to fight back. And I feel like I can never repay that.
The fund providing benefits to first responders and others dealing with illnesses related to the 2001 attacks is running short of money. Stewart angry that more lawmakers did not attend that hearing yesterday. Today marks the 25th anniversary of the murder of O.J. Simpson's wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Acting Homeland Security Chief Kevin McAleen and warning Congress of an unprecedented crisis at the southern border. During a Senate hearing yesterday, he said government border facilities are overflowing and resources are being stretched too thin, and that migrant kids are especially at risk. McAleen also noted that smugglers are making large amounts of money moving people across the border, often in very dangerous conditions. The British government announcing an ambitious plan to cut greenhouse gas emissions to nearly zero by 2050, making Britain the first G7 nation to set such a target. The interim minister for energy and clean growth is Chris Skidmore.
We decided it's really important as a government we show leadership. We were really keen internationally to show leadership as well. We're bidding for a critical United Nations conference next year. We want to ensure that we can achieve this sustainably, which is why we've set the 2050 target today.
And Honda's new so-called Mean Mower V2 has broken a Guinness World Record. That new riding lawnmower can go from 0 to 100 miles an hour in 6.29 seconds. That's even faster than my car will do. It'll also hit a top speed of just over 150 miles an hour, and that compares to an average riding mower that zips along at about 5 to 6 miles an hour. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Dr. Jerry Newcomb is with us, serves as the co-host and spokesman for Truth That Transforms, formerly the Coral Ridge Hour, television outreach of the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, the senior pastor of the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church for 48 years until his death in 2007. Jerry produces a weekly column for the ministry and often produces many TV segments. Jerry, good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you, Bill. Great to be with you.
Well, I'll tell you, so much is happening. Just very quickly, in the rearview mirror, we look back on just an incredible day of history for this country. Learning lessons abound. You got a chance to hear the stories directly from soldiers who were there at the beach on Normandy as we celebrated as a country, as a world even, the 75th anniversary of D-Day. So much rich history and legacy to pull out of the experience, right?
Yes, there is, and thank God for it. And I thank God even for the resurgence of interest and information on the subject of the D-Day prayer.
Yes.
That FDR read a prayer, and he had it written it aforehand, sent out to the newspapers, and I've seen reports that 100 million Americans, supposedly, about that number, tuned in to hear him when he read that prayer. And that's, our population. I looked it up today. Our population in 1944 was 138 million. So can you imagine a broadcast with 100 million viewers or listeners in a nation of 138 million? I mean, it's huge.
Yes.
I was even thinking, well, what about the, a lot of the 38 million would have been citizens that were, overseas.
Exactly.
We had about 9 million Americans went off to fight overseas in World War II. And so, anyway, here was this beautiful, moving prayer on behalf of the nation and these soldiers going. And, FDR even said, on behalf of our religion.
Exactly. He acknowledged God. I mean, it was such a different time, Jerry, compared to today where people are so overly sensitive. We have this attack on our faith and on religion. Every time you turn around, boycotting, wedding cakes or cupcakes. It's getting ridiculous.
It is. Well, just to give an example with this specific issue of World War II.
Yes.
That when they unveiled, the beautiful World War II memorial in Washington, D.C., there's no reference to God. None. And so that's like, well, gosh, I mean, FDR made references to God. I have, in my home, I am one of eight children in our family, and my dad served in World War II,
mm-hmm.
thank God for that, in the Navy, the U.S. Navy, and he had a copy of the New Testament, and I'm the one who inherited it of all the eight children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's interesting about this is that that New Testament was issued by the U.S. government. And
right.
in fact, it even has a foreword by FDR saying that the Bible throughout the ages has encouraged people and given them strength. And that's why we're making this copy available to you. Now, the Christian soldiers received the New Testament. The Jewish soldiers received portions of the Old Testament. I've seen one. I don't own a copy, but I've seen one myself.
Right.
And so I just thought that was kind of amazing, you know. But today, you bring up God, you bring up faith, you bring up the very things that caused this country to become a nation in the first place, and that's politically incorrect and not allowed by the PC police.
And amazing, as you mentioned, the memorial, World War II memorial. And a simple request, let's memorialize the D-Day prayer. Let's make sure that it's inscribed
yeah.
there. And there's such an uproar about it. We have to raise money privately. There's no government accommodation for it. Privately around the country, we're raising you know, money to pay for it.
And there's a deadline on that, too.
Yeah, 2021, I think, is what the deadline is. And we need about a half million. You know, that should be
enough. Is what is left,
right.
is what is needed.
Right.
I know that DDayPrayerProject.org is the main website that gives a clearinghouse of information, plus how people can donate.
Exactly.
But I think, to me, just the whole crusade, if you will, to, mm-hmm. you know, remind people about prayer during World War II and other times in our country, it just shows you how, as a nation, we have forgotten God. You know, we have mm-hmm. what I call American amnesia.
Right. Well, and the thing is, even when the president, the current president, makes mention of God, God bless
yeah.
America, you know, even with Barack Obama, if you notice, it didn't roll off his lips very comfortably. Donald Trump, even, is as bold as he can be. Sometimes I sense a hesitation at times because, you know, he doesn't want to offend anybody. I mean, if you know, I say he doesn't want to. I mean, it seems like as long as this president is breathing, he offends people. But, you know, what the heck anyway. But, you know, it's just that, you know, whenever there's a mention of God, like you say, the PC police come out. But, you know, as they say, Jerry, and my dad served World War II. He was at the Battle of the Bulge with Patton.
Wow.
And so
we have a
history in our family as well. And but, you know, as they say, there's no atheists in foxholes. When you know, death is around them,
yeah.
surrounding, they're smelling death like many of the soldiers that were interviewed. I was just watching. There was a piece about World War I, and they were talking about the trench warfare, Jerry. And you know, bodies lying there, you know, for days, and the rats would come in. And I mean, an incredible experience what these men endured. But that's war, you know, and it's not an excuse. It's just a reality. And the things that these men, these young boys, I mean, some of them lied to get into the war effort and to support the country. You know, some were 15, 16 years old, Jerry. And they find themselves on the beach at Normandy. You know,
yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And they paid an incredible price. You know, 160,000 men went there in that invasion, and about 9,000 were casualties. Most of them on that very first day, you know, June 6, 2019, I mean, 1944.
Right.
But what amazes me, though, is that today, the arrogance of the modern atheists that try to, as I say, the PC police that try to punish anybody. I remember there was a story, and I even wrote about it a couple of years ago in my weekly column, about a chaplain who got in trouble for quoting Eisenhower's statement that there is no atheist in foxholes.
Right.
And it's a general truism. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk to all these different soldiers, even those who have no religion per se, but they're there. And they're like, you know, praying to Almighty God. That's why I think there's an intense secularism, though, that has taken over so much of our culture. I remember, this is going to sound strange, but I remember about 20 years ago there was a movie I heard about Tom Hanks, and I chose not to see it. And it was about, he was a castaway.
Yes,
I think
right.
That was the name of the movie.
Yes.
And, but I chose not to see it because they said, well, he talked to a volleyball, but he never once talked to God.
Right.
And I know that's not the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
I know it. I know that when atheists get in trouble, they talk to God.
Yeah.
Believe me, they talk to God.
Yeah, Wilson the volleyball became his God. Well, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, we've got to go to a quick break. And speaking of Hollywood, I want to talk about your latest column regarding Hollywood. Stay with us.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The deep state began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Bill Martinez live.
19 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. A conversation with Dr. Jerry Newcomb continues. Jerry, just to wrap up, the acknowledgement of God throughout our history, and that's why it was questioned, a while ago during the Obama administration, if you'll recall, by one congressman after Barack Obama made the announcement that America was no longer a Christian nation. It took a congressman to go back and recount the rich history of America to say, When did that happen? When did we stop believing in God? Did it happen during World War One? Was it during the American Revolution? Was it World War Two? With the landing of Normandy there for Operation Overlord, and he just went through our rich history and legacy, asking the question of when did we stop being a Christian nation?
Was that Randy Forbes?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, he's missed. He is sorely missed. I've got to tell you something. As a TV producer, I've had the privilege to interview a lot of people in their offices and in different places through the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I do mean, with the TV crew.
Right.
And so we were in his office one time, and I've been in many congressmen's offices and a few senators' offices through the year. I don't mean to sound like a name dropper or anything, but I was impressed by an aspect of his office. He did not have on his office wall pictures of his grandchildren and children and, wife and so forth, all that kind of stuff. Instead, he had 56 framed framed reproductions of all 56 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence.
Mm. Wow.
And I was like, wow, how did you get this? This is fantastic. Because I remember one time I was struggling to find an image of Thomas Nelson Jr., who was one of those who signed,
right,
but he paid a huge price in signing the Declaration of Independence. But bottom line is, I thought that was a real quality, Randy, real quality.
And he led the Congressional Prayer Caucus, and they had Bible studies and regular prayer meetings, and his heart and understanding for prayer, again, acknowledging that we had to look at, as George Washington and our founding fathers on many occasions, Jerry said, but for the hand of divine providence.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's funny you should mention that. I was just reading a history book last night, and it was talking specifically about when George Washington was first appointed as the commander-in-chief in the summer of 1775 by the Continental Congress, and it gave example after example after example of how he felt unworthy for the role, but he would do the best he could. But there was no reference to his trust in God to help him through that. And I know for a fact that there were comments from Washington at that time that only for the help of Providence, only for
exactly
the help of God,
mm-hmm,
will I be able to make this and succeed in this. And it's like, this is just another example of that erasing of our history,
the rewriting,
rewriting our history, removing God from it. But it's a shame. It's a shame because things don't happen in a vacuum. My little brother has a good phrase. He says America was not a happy accident.
Yes.
It was a confluence of many different things that came together, but one of the most important of those things was a commitment to the Judeo-Christian worldview,
mm-hmm,
and the difference that made is huge, huge difference. I mean, George Washington, just take an example. Okay, lately, the congressional leaders are removing quietly the idea of, pledging or swearing with the phrase, so help me God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so help me God. Do you swear? Do you affirm? Blah, 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 blah. Yes. Yes or no, and not so help me God.
Right.
All right, so they've removed that. Well, when Washington was inaugurated, the first president under the Constitution, April 30, 1789, he said, so help me God. He leaned over, he kissed the Holy Bible. Mm-hmm. Then he led the congressmen and senators and his cabinet and so forth. And what did they do? They had his first inaugural address in which he mentions God in various different ways several times, but basically says, without God's help, we never would have become a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And he also says we shouldn't violate the rules that heaven itself was ordained. And if we do violate those rules, we shouldn't expect God's happiness with us as a nation. He then went on. This is all, again, April 30, 1789. This is in New York City, our capital at the time.
Right.
He leads everybody to St. Paul's Chapel. And for 2 hours, all the Supreme Court justices, including the Chief Justice John Jay, a very strong evangelical, including his cabinet, including that would be John Adams, his vice president, the senators, the congressmen, they all have a Christian worship service for 2 hours, praying for the new nation, and it included the Lord's Supper.
Yes.
In the Anglican tradition.
Mm-hmm.
St. Paul's Chapel, by the way, it survived 9/11. It still exists as a building. You can go there to this day.
Right. And you can sit right there in the pew. Exactly.
Well, do they let you sit in there? I don't know. It's kind of cordoned off a little bit.
Well,
You can see it. Absolutely.
Exactly.
And, but the idea of this is that, so today's people, today's leaders, that are trying to lead us away from God, they're quietly removing God from this, that, and the other. But George Washington, was proudly serving as a Christian leader. And, one of the things about Washington that's incredible that people don't even recognize is in 1782, a year before the official peace treaty between America and Great Britain, a lot of his troops were getting restless. They said, look, the pay that we've received is worthless. It's not worth a continental, so to speak.
Right.
Why don't you become our king? And then we can, you can solve these, this crisis of leadership that we have in our current status.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington said, I didn't fight one king in order to become a king.
Right.
And like a servant leader, like Jesus Christ, imitating Jesus Christ in this respect, he stepped down from power. He pushed power away. One of the greatest days in all of history, ever
yes.
in the history of the world, was when John Adams was inaugurated for the first time. George Washington stepped down as our first president after two terms in office, in order to kind of set this precedent that, okay, my time has come. Now it's time to peacefully hand the power, the transition of power to the next ruler. And that's what happened, and it happened in peace in many nations throughout history. Even to this day, you can go to nations where there's not a peaceful transition from one ruler to the next, but there's often bloodshed because that's human nature.
Right.
And Washington, following the Christian example and the founders setting up a system based on the understanding that man is sinful.
Right.
And if given a chance, everybody, even good people, will tend to be corrupt if given
exactly.
too much power. And we need to be careful with power. And that's why these people who are moving us away from God as a country don't realize they're actually speeding up the day of their own demise, of everybody's demise, right?
Exactly.
Because we all...
Look what's happening in America. I mean, there's not necessarily blood in the street, but, there's been no peaceful transformation. And what we're finding out, what some of these three-letter agencies have done to come against our constitutional rights and the smooth transition, this is disgusting what they've done to this president. Jerry, right now, we're 3.2 GDP. Imagine if we had any kind of cooperation, from the mainstream media, which has gone out of its way, reporting 90% against Donald Trump. And I don't mean to make this political, only to your point, because we've abandoned God, we've picked up on our own things. I mean, we're like in the book of Judges. We're seeing things according to our own eyes. You've got all kinds of opinions flying around. And
that's amazing.
I've often said, look, in the absence of fact, opinion rules. And right now, people aren't interested in the facts. They're more interested in their opinion. And we've got plenty of that flying around. At our expense.
Bill, I am amazed. Every day I make a commitment by the grace of God to follow, reading and studying a passage of Scripture every single day. And this day, in my 3-year Through the Bible study course, where I use a book called Search of the Scriptures, written in England in the 1940s, Search of the Scriptures, still in print.
Yes.
And my reading for this day was in Judges 21, and it included that line, "And every man did that which was right in his own eyes," talking about the book of Judges.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It's like, oh, man.
And so here it is.
What an apt description of today.
We had to talk about it. Dr. Jerry Newcomb has been with us, serves as the senior producer and on-air host and as a columnist for the D. James Kennedy Ministries. Jerry, it's always an honor to have you with us. Thank you so much for being with us. Take care.
Thank
God
you,
bless.
Bill. God
you
bless.
Bye.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen Lennon with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question. The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Another reprieve granted to the last remaining abortion clinic in the state of Missouri. A judge says that Planned Parenthood facility in St. Louis can stay open for now. A Planned Parenthood doctor there, Colleen McNicholas, says,
"The fact that we are here before you today to proclaim this temporary victory is a testament to the fight that we will continue, that our entire community will continue to have access to abortion."
The judge also ruling that the state's Department of Health and Senior Services must decide on the license renewal for the facility no later than Friday, June 21st. Donald Trump Jr. currently meeting with the Senate Intelligence Committee behind closed door, his second appearance before that panel in relation to the special counsel Robert Mueller's report on the Russia probe. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
I'm going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Oh, I want to go. Oh, I want to go home.
Bill Martinez, live.
You know, they think they can get away with it, but that doesn't stop them just because they think, and even the times that they don't, they just keep on trying. They can't help themselves. But this is why this is a government of, for, by, we the people. We have to keep them accountable, ladies and gentlemen, especially when it comes to people of faith, because who better, you know, to participate in accountability than those who have been forgiven? It's not necessarily about justice. It's about mercy and God's grace. Hey, thank you for joining us. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. You know, it's been said that a picture is worth a thousand words, right? Well, how about a good story? Could it be worth more? Well, perhaps it is. A good story is worth much more because it can present truth in a way that is easily remembered, and few listeners will forget a good story. Think about it. Think about how many good stories you hold in your heart. To remember the story is to remember the lesson taught by that story. Now, this is the basic premise behind the new book, If the Shoe Fits, by Vanderbilt Brabson III and his brother, Frederick Brabson Sr. And Frederick is with us right now to tell us more about it. Frederick, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. I've been looking forward to this conversation. I think that when it comes to being able to communicate with people, and particularly in the case where you're helping, you know, pastors of churches or Bible teachers and leaders, you know, to get across a teaching, you have captured a key component, because even when we read the Bible, you know, how does Jesus, you know, and how does the Holy Spirit speak to us, but in stories, right?
Absolutely. One of the things that I think is very prominent in Jesus's teaching ministry is simplicity. He takes and uses familiar things that people know about And that becomes a segue or a means of introducing them to the unfamiliar, which is spiritual truth. And that's what we're doing in this particular work, is using simple stories, stories that perhaps people have heard, perhaps stories that people have read before, but using them as an opportunity to reveal a spiritual truth that they may not be so familiar with. And I think that's important in this day and time.
Mm-hmm. And the book, appropriately titled, If the Shoe Fits, because if the shoe fits, then we have a basis. That's kind of a bridge in which we can communicate over, is it not?
Absolutely. You know, the rest of that story, the rest of that line could probably read, and I'm sure you heard this, if the shoe fit, then wear it.
Yeah.
The subject matter is broad, and that's intentional, but the whole idea is to communicate a means whereby people can take the things that they're interested in and the things that they want to know more about and be able to internalize it in a way that's understandable to them. I remember an old preacher said years ago, when it comes to preaching, he says, and teaching, regardless of your intellect, regardless of your education, regardless of your accomplishments, he would remind us to put the bread on the lower shelf where everybody has access to it.
Mm.
And that means just seek to be understood. Seek to remain simple. When people are interviewing you, they like to look at your resume and look at your accomplishments and all that. But at the end of the day, when you're in the pulpit, you're in the classroom, when you're having a cup of coffee, seek to be understood. And I think the best way to do that is use the model of Jesus, and that is be simple, not complicated.
No, you're exactly. I'm tracking with you here perfectly. In the book, you address a collection of some 30 modern day parables. So you're bringing it into the contemporary culture.
Absolutely. Stories are readily available in many venues. I mean, there are stories out there that people hear. There are stories out there that people read. And people's lives, if they would look very closely, they'll find that they have their own stories. But I think the greater good is to be able to take those stories and realize that they have more value than one realizes, even though it can be something very simplistic in your life. It can be a very eye-opener to someone else if it's used in a way to convey spiritual truth, and which is what we strive to do as pastors and teachers in our local churches and in our communities. I think that's important.
I often use the example of the blind man. You know, speaking of simplicity, he himself didn't understand it, but it was I was, I am, you know, kind of transition. You know, I was blind, now I see. Sometimes I think we overcomplex our testimony and the impact that God has in our lives, you know, because you can hear some people that are very articulate and very charming, and they can wax a very poetic story, and it's impressive. But I find that, you run into the simple stories like the blind man, and you go, wow, that is profound and stops you dead in your tracks, does it not?
Absolutely, because Bill, as you well know, in that story of the blind man, you remember his interrogation. They were asking him all these questions about who did it and how did it happen and what did he do and all of that.
Was he in fact blind to begin with, right?
Yeah,
they questioned whether or not his condition was...
Question, is this really the man that was born blind? And then they begin to interrogate his parents and all of that. But what I love about the story at the end of the day was he says, I don't know anything about all these questions that you're asking me. But one thing I do know, I was blind, now I see. That's so simplistic yet so profound.
Right.
No one could change his heart nor his position that he was blind, and now because of his encounter with Christ, he sees. Very simple.
The reality of Jesus. And again, I think sometimes we try to overcomplicate things, but there is that moment of truth when you come in contact. And if you've not had that moment of truth, I'd be praying for one, because it is life-changing. You will not be the same. It's impossible. Look at what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. He's confronted with the living Christ. And what does he do? I mean, it alters his legacy, his purpose in life altogether, that took him from, you know, being blind, and now he sees. And, of course, he had to get blind again before he could see again, right?
Absolutely. And he also was confronted with a simplistic truth. Here he is, he's championing what he believes to be a cause for God. He's very fervent about it. He's very insistent about it. And then he's confronted with the simplistic truth. The very thing that you're fighting, you should be promoting. The very thing that you're trying to stamp out, you should be believing. And now he's got a crisis here. The thing that he thinks he's doing is right is against the very thing that God is wanting him to do. And so he has that encounter, and it's a life-changing encounter. It's not casual. It's radical. It really changes our lives because it changes our hearts.
Right.
That's important.
Well, in this modern-day parable, one of the modern-day parables that you address is a boy, a vase, and a piece of candy. We were going to go to break here in about a minute and a half. Can you tell us that?
You want to do it now when we come?
Yeah. Well, if you think it's better, we can do it after the break if you need more time. But we got about a minute and a half, and you can take us to break if we can do it in a minute and a half.
Okay, let's do it in a break. If I run out of time, you let me know. But the boy and the man, the boy and the vase, rather, the piece of candy, really speaks about how our obedience or our disobedience has consequences. Oftentimes there are things out there that has that lure to us. We've been warned and we've been taught to stay away from certain things, but sometimes because of our own inward desires, we overstep those boundaries. So here's a story about a boy. The candy's there. He knows he's not supposed to have the candy, but he insists on having it anyway. Mm-hmm. And so he sticks his hand in the jar to get a big handful of it, and he could easily escape. All he has to do is turn the candy loose. Mm-hmm. But he has a choice to make here. Turn the candy loose or try to pull his hand out and still have a handful of that candy, and you can't have it both ways. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that we learned there is there are many things out there that we have a choice whether it's becoming obedient or disobedient. But disobedience as well as obedience has a consequence. And while we can make our choices in life, we cannot choose the consequences of those choices. We have to face them. And that's a simplistic truth that helps to guide Christians in making their choices. Before you make that choice, consider the potential consequences. And sometimes in making that choice, it's crystal clear what the consequences may be. And you have to ask yourself, am I going to intentionally overstep that boundary?
Right.
Or am I going to be
going to break.
Obedient?
We'll be right back.
Fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, you probably now realize it wasn't a good idea, and the financial strain it's putting on you and your family has you stressed, and you probably think there's no way out. This is Steve Sanchez, and you know I've been an advocate for hardworking Americans just like you for 27 years, and there's a way out of this financial nightmare, and my friends at Wesley Financial, the leading timeshare cancellations company in the country, can help you cancel your timeshare guaranteed. Being lied to, misled, and pressured into buying a timeshare doesn't have to be your story, but freedom of being out of it can be. I have a special free information kit that will give you the step-by-step process that Wesley Financial uses to get you out of your timeshare guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100. That's 1-800-501-6100 or visit stevesanchez.info. You don't have to have the financial nightmare of a timeshare any longer. Wesley Financial can help you get out guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Well, our conversation with Frederick Bramson continues. He and his brother, Vanderbilt, have presented to us, if the shoe fits, spiritual truths that are illustrated in great stories. I love this one story, a professor, student, and a Bible. Frederick, if it's okay, I'd like to read it. An agnostic professor's greatest delight was ridiculing Christians in his classes. And, of course, you imagine this happens in campuses across the country far too often than we'd really want to admit the things that our kids are being subjected to. One morning, he asked his class of new students, is there anyone present among you who considers him or herself a Christian? Come on now, don't be bashful. If so, please raise your hand up high so I can see it. One young fellow looked around at some of his classmates he knew were Christians, but had chosen not to raise their hands. All alone, the boy slowly raised his hand up high and is requested. Ah, I see we have one, acknowledged the professor. Would you be so kind as to come down front and stand here beside me? Come on now, don't be bashful. The boy stood and walked to the front of the classroom. He stopped and turned to face his classmates as he stood beside the professor. Almost immediately, the professor mocked, young man, I think it's very brave of you to do what you just did, but I believe your courage and faith may be somewhat misplaced and could be better spent on something else. For instance, I think it's totally absurd to believe in a God one cannot see. I've personally read the Bible myself throughout, and it does not make one bit of sense to me. I can't understand any of it. Well, the boy turned and looked up at the professor and said, sir, the Bible is a love letter from God to his children. That's what happens when you read someone else's mail. After saying this, the boy walked back to his desk and took his seat. Someone clearly connected with God and not being intimidated and believing what God said. Jesus told us that there are going to be those times when we get challenged. He says, don't freak out, okay, the contemporary language. Don't freak out. The Holy Spirit will be there and give you the words, right? And clearly the Holy Spirit gave this young man the words to the professor, saying that that's what you get for reading other people's mail. I love it.
I think that's a classic example of peer pressure that a lot of people face, and in that particular instance, that young man. Mm-hmm. When my youngest son went off to college, I told him before he left home, I said, son, One of the things you need to understand is newfound freedom can be one of the most dangerous commodities in your position, because now you don't have to bounce things off me or your mom as to what to choose. You have that power of choice. And so many times people are put in situations where they're under that pressure to go along with the flow, to go along with the prevailing sentiment, instead of standing on their own spiritual merits. And in our college campuses, that happens a lot. And this is a story that could really encourage someone to have to understand that everyone won't believe the way you believe, and everyone won't choose the way you choose. But be true to your faith, and be true to your convictions, and be true to the God of your heart as you know him in the person of Christ. I just think that's an awesome opportunity and a simple way to encourage someone to take their stand even when others don't, because the majority is not always right.
Exactly. And why does God want us to be courageous?
God wants us to be courageous is because the courage that we exercise will be the courage that he gives. If we stand on our own merit, we'll fail miserably, because that's based on the premise that I can do it, I'm able, and I'm the one that can accomplish it. But when we walk in faith, we understand, as you said earlier, there are times when we be put in situations we don't know what to say. We don't know how to respond. But if we're walking in dependency upon God and trusting God, the Holy Spirit that's resident in the heart of every believer will give us the things that we need to say, direct us in the things that we need to do at the given time. And our responsibility is to rely on the courage that God gives us and not on our own merit or our own ability, because in doing so, we'll fail every time when it comes to that.
Well, isn't God still in the soul-saving business?
Absolutely. God is always in the soul-saving business. The Bible makes it very clear that it's not his will that anyone should perish, that everyone would come to salvation. And salvation is an opportunity that God extends to all of us, because, as the story says, it's a love letter. It's a love letter to his children. But we become his children through the merit of his son and not through the merit of ourselves. And that's a lot of times when you read the Bible, it can be the one of the most strangest things you've ever read if you're a non-believer, because it makes no sense to you. But when you understand, as a child of God, God's love for you and God's care for you, that's relationship, and that's a whole new set of circumstances.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that allows you and gives you room for courage to save souls, because the way God seems to work, and this goes back to Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you can bless others and bless the world. And
Absolutely.
Jesus came to establish his church. Here the church, which is the body of Christ, which is people. It's not the bricks. It's the people. It's the souls in there who have been blessed. And we should take what God has blessed us with and pay it forward. To be that, as one author and celebrated evangelist said, that we should live a lifestyle evangelism, so that it shows to the people the courage, but also the blessings of God, that makes them want to say, "Hey, I want what you have."
And I think too, Bill, that story can be representative of how, when we choose to let God become our courage in spite of imposing circumstances, or even intimidating circumstances, such as a professor or a person that we look up to and a person that we want to honor and not humiliate. But one would be surprised at the people in situations like that look for an opportunity in which they might be strengthened in their walk and strengthened in their faith, and they see you, or they see that person taking that stand in spite of all the prevailing opposition, and we'd be surprised at how the people who observe us, they may not never say anything to us, but they observe us, and they are strengthened in their faith and strengthened in their walk simply by what they observe, and then they make this amazing discovery that in this walk of faith, I am not alone. God gives me what I need at the proper time. And in that case, it could just be a simple thing as a student taking a stand in spite of all the prevailing sentiment. That's huge.
Yeah, without a doubt. Frederick, especially in light of today's environment, culturally speaking, chapter 12, you talk about reasoning with the unreasonable. Well, I'm telling you, if there was ever an unreasonable time in our country, at least in our modern era that I'm aware of since I've been on this earthly plane, as they would say, I've never seen contention like this. I've never seen and experienced such unreasonability. Address that.
Well, a lot of times when you start talking about the unreasonable, you know, we're living in a day and time where Christianity comes under tremendous attack. It comes under tremendous onslaught. And there are times when there is no reasoning with the unreasonable. You had a person here who, in this particular story, wanted to declare himself to be dead. And he was adamant about it, and he convinced himself that he was dead. And even against all the prevailing facts that spoke otherwise, he still insisted on being dead, though he was clearly alive. Mm-hmm. And I think in Christianity, we will run into those situations, whereas no amount of explaining, no amount of talking, no amount of convincing can do that. And I have found that at the end of the day, when it comes to the Bible, we let the scriptures speak for themselves.
Right.
The great preacher, I believe it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, was confronted one time, and the question was asked to him, says, what do the scriptures mean? And his response was, they mean what they say. And the response was, well, what do they say? And his response was simply, they say what they mean. Mm-hmm. Let the scriptures speak for themselves, and I believe God will do his work.
Well, sometimes, that's, you know, exactly. And Frederick, I got to tell you, sometimes I'm challenged when you come through an intersection and you are confronted by a fool. And the Bible is clear in Proverbs, you know, what to do with a fool. And by the same token, I pause for a moment and say, okay, God, obviously I didn't come in contact with this fool for no reason whatsoever. What is your intent? Is there something to be offered there? Or is this, or am I being put in a situation where you cast pearl before swine, so to speak?
Well, I think sometimes when you're in those situations, they can have a multiplicity effect here. For one is if you're in the company of a fool, you don't degrade that person. But it's nice to know that God has made you aware of the company that you're in, mm-hmm. and now your challenge is how to conduct yourself and address yourself accordingly. Secondly, hopefully, we can learn to lead even a fool with something to think about. But one of the things we don't do is argue with a fool, because if you argue with a fool, now you got two fools arguing, and that's a waste of time. You don't want to do that.
Exactly.
One is a fool, and the other one is acting foolishly, and that accomplishes nothing. No.
Well, as we wrap things up here, let's talk about love. You have a powerful chapter here on love. I'm going to let you summarize that and wrap things up here. We've got about a minute left.
And which one are you referring to?
Let me see. As I'm thumbing through here again, I lost my remembering to love. Raisin in the Sun?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the remembering to love is the fact that no matter what goes on in your life, no matter how you've been treated, no matter how unkind life has been to you, no matter what you've been through, or no matter what you're going through, no matter what's on the horizon, the whole idea is to never lose your sense of value, never lose your sense of dignity, and never lose sight of the one who you're ultimately serving, and that is God himself.
Right.
We can't live a life of avoidance, and God intentionally allows adversity and extreme circumstances to come our way, but they prune us. They let
exactly.
us know who we are.
Well, we got to leave it right there for now. Frederick Brabson has been our guest. His book, If the Shoe Fits, it'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you, Frederick. God bless.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759. Most